Hi to everyone, this is Young Radio Europe, a project made by Aeris Cooperativa Sociale, co-founded by Erasmus Plus, in collaboration with
IDEMO, Institut za Demokraciju from Croatia,
Fundacja Instytut Innowacji from Poland,
and Stichting CAD Projects from the Netherlands, and CAD stands for Creating Arts and Alternatives Together.
The project we involved connected four topics: food, sport, music and immigration. Of course, we don't just eating here, we of course watching the price and trying to see the difference between price in Italy and our home. Of course, we also watching how you making someone foods and of course trying it another restaurants to try what is the best for us. If we're talking about sports, the sports in Italy, it's different between, for example, Poland. We have, of course, this same like it, sports like football, but in Poland we much talking about football. Here you much playing the football. The music was very big different here in Italy and from example Syria, from Africa, from Netherlands and of course from Poland. So that's the good reason to travel into watching the difference of culture. If we're talking about immigration, not just one topic, it could be immigration for study or immigration for living or immigration for economical. It's very important topic which we're talking about in all the Europe. If you want to involve this kind of program, you should to ask your coordinator and go to Italy or another Europe countries. Of course, we came here to not to travel.
Learn with each other, diversity in Europe. Learn with each other, diversity in Europe. Learn with each other, diversity in Europe. Woo!
That's the aim.
Hi everyone, this is Julia and today we are talking about music. I'm here with Ben, Lucas and Adam. Say hello!
Hi!
Okay, with these new people we are talking about music, but we started with a question. Can Europe or the people that come in Europe can be the new captain of music? Today we will see it across some people who came in Europe and also live in Europe and start making some new music. Or also this person here with me will talk about how music is in their country. And also we can hear this music or new music across the using of technology. Well, I think that we can start with you, Lucas.
Okay.
What are the music in... the music in Poland? What did you listen?
For me, I'm listening reggae and ambient music, but the popular Poland, Polish people like prefer, I think, pop, disco polo and hip hop.
Wow, well, I think it's like the same in Italy or in the rest of the world, like, yeah.
But I don't hear that you listen too much disco polo like in Poland. In Poland, for example, we got artists which have a lot of million viewers of their songs. Yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah, well, I think that some things are the same and other are different, but we can also hear some Poland music.
Yeah, the most popular for me, if we're talking about collaboration, the mixing and music, I prefer currently Donatan. He's a producer, he's making a hip-hop, but he's connecting the hip-hop with Slavic music. So you can imagine it, beat of a Slavic from 10 centuries mixing with currently ages.
Yeah, it's like past and present together.
Yeah, it's very wonderful songs.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lucas.
Thank you too.
Also, Ben.
Yeah?
You are from, say to us where are you come from.
I'm from Nigeria and I live in Italy.
Perfect. So, what did you listen in Nigeria?
Actually, I listened to Afrobeat.
And what is? Can you say to us what is Afrobeat? Because personal, I don't know what is.
Afrobeat is Nigeria's most popular song. It's the combination of elements like funk, jazz, and West African music, so that's Afrobeat.
And you listen it every day or like in the ceremony?
Actually, it's a song you can listen to every day, every minute, and on the YouTube and social network as well.
And have you got one famous singer about Afrobeat?
Yeah, actually there's a singer that I like most of his song, Nasty C. He's from South Africa.
Wow, and did you like him?
Yes, and I know almost all his songs.
Whoa! Yeah. Well, one day you will share to us this new artist.
No problem, it will be my pleasure.
Okay, everyone, after Ben and Lucas, we are here with a new star born, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, Adam is a young artist from Netherlands, but he is also part of our team of the Young Radio. And he's from Netherlands, but with Syrian origin, yes?
Yes, sure.
And, well, you lived in Netherlands. What kind of music is in Netherlands?
Well, I grew up listening to Arabic music, to music from my own country. But when I came to the Netherlands, it was like they listened to totally different music that I knew. But since then I was trying to make like music, new music, to write new music that all the people there in the Netherlands, Arab people and also the Dutch people, could feel it and understand it.
So you say to us that you write songs,
yeah,
and you write these songs in Arabic. So
yes.
And what your songs talking about?
Yeah, I try always to choose a subject and to send like a message or to tell a story with my music. But I write like sometimes dance music with pop music, and recently I recorded a Arabic music with rock style. And I have a song about my friend who died in Syria one time. So I try always to say a story about in my song.
Wow, well, can you play something for us?
Yes, sure, my pleasure.
And well, before you start, you say to me that you have got a YouTube channel where people can listen to you. Can you say the name so that people can follow you?
Yes, sure. You can check out all my videos on my YouTube channel on YouTube. Adam Warrak, WARRAK.
Okay, let's see and well, let's listen Adam music.
The name of the song is Hope.
شو ضل الساعة عايش فينا ما راح ننسى أسامينا ليش عم تقسى الدنيا علينا شو هالقصة لسه لمل فينا هي هي سلام الفينا لسه أمل فينا
Woo!
Hey guys, how's it going? Here's Marco. I'm here with many other friends that you're gonna meet later. And today we're gonna talk about migration, about something you're going into, you're moving in, you're emerging. So I'm gonna give you a little description of the word. I like a natural way to say it, which is plant or animal that established itself in an area where it previously did not exist. So what does that mean? It means an enrichment, a contamination, innovation, creation, guys. So what about movement of people from a place to another? Man is nomadic since the beginning of time, guys. Periodic migration for the survival of the group. Where the humans were living with Mother Nature, they were using the resources in a sustainable way, using the land, water, and food to assist themselves and the other. So now, our beautiful Dora is gonna talk about how can you bring this basic statement to the actual global society. Go, Dora.
Hi, so I'm gonna talk about some causes and types of migration amongst people. So people can migrate because of economical reasons. They are then called economical migrants when they escape poverty or they look for better jobs, etc. Also, people can move because of political reasons. Then they're called political migrants. And they usually move because of war, genocide, ethnic cleansing, dictatorship, repression, and so on. We also have environmental migrants who move because of natural disasters. We have people moving because of personal and sentimental reasons, like having a partner or family in the other country, and people moving because of education. When people come to another country and when they are escaping poverty or moving because of economical reasons or sometimes political reasons and natural disasters, they usually seek protection in that state. So they start a legal process that lasts a few years, depends on the country, and they become asylum seekers. After that process is approved, they become refugees. Refugees always a temporarily thing for a few years, also depends on the country they are, and then the countries after that review if they the country that they escaped from or left is safe, and then they can ask for citizenships, working visas, etc. And this process really varies from one country to the other. After these causes and types of migration, I'm gonna ask my dear friend Paula to tell us something about the migration crisis going on in Croatia.
Hello everyone. From 2008, the whole world has covered the economic crisis. Politics of Croatia did not react well, so many people cannot afford gentle lifestyle. From 2008 to today, Croatian left about a 500,000 people who went to the rich countries, and the reasons are economical, like my father go first to Germany to find a good job so we can afford an easier life. Next reason are sentimental, because my mother and brother also go in Germany to be together with my father. And I also planning to go in Germany to have a good education and be with them.
Okay, thank you, Paola. Now we're going to talk about other types of migrations. I have with me our dear two friends who are going to explain themselves a little bit. So we're going to start with our friend Saverio. So Saverio, tell us.
Ciao, Saverio.
Ciao.
Tell us your name. Where do you live now? Where are you from?
Mi chiamo Saverio. I am 21. And I came from Syria. I live in the Netherlands. I am there like 3 years and half year long. Yes.
And so what are you doing with your life right now in the Netherlands?
I am study preparing to the high school, and I wanna be an actor, so I try 2 years to get inside the theater school, but it's difficult because the language, theater is very difficult with the language, so it have a little bit more time.
Okay, thank you. Are you alone in the Netherlands?
I am. I was. I came there alone, and I tried 3 years to make a family reunion to my mother, but it was not accepted. The last 3 months was it accepted, and now I have my mother in the Netherlands, so I am not alone more.
That's very nice. Can you say something about your dreams currently, more about your dreams of being an actor, your feelings about it, and of course, do you like living now in the Netherlands?
I have many dreams. I dream always, so but as an actor, yeah, I wanna tell about a big dream of me, that I want to make the world better with acting, with speaking to other persons, with sharing ideas. Yeah, I like that we are one, so we live together and work together to make the world better. And I like the Netherlands very much because I was deaf in Syria, and the Netherlands get me from the death to a new life. I am very happy, and I feel that the Netherlands is my mother, my second mother, and if I see the flag of the Netherlands, I am so happy, and I feel peaceful. I like the Netherlands very much. It's my, I am actually from the Netherlands and from Syria, not from Syria, just from Syria. I am from the two countries.
Okay, thanks very much, amico. Now we are going, we move on. There is our friend Sommer. Hey, Sommer, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's going good.
Describe yourself.
I'm also a Syrian refugee. I'm in the Netherlands since 3 years and some months, and currently I'm studying graphic design. I'm also busy with like volunteer work in a youth center in The Hague, where I live in the Netherlands.
That's great, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And also some, I do Erasmus Plus projects with the European Union, and it's going good. It's going good.
How do you feel being a refugee in the Netherlands?
This is a hard question, but I can tell you that, a refugee, like, people treat you a bit different because you're a refugee. That can be positively or negatively, but in my personal experience, people help me because I'm a refugee, and sometimes I don't really like this because I want to be treated like any other human being, like any other citizen in the Netherlands society. I don't want to be someone who's treated like, I'm higher or lower. No, I'm just like any other person.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell us some advice that you want to give out for other people when they are meeting or crossing refugees in their countries?
Yeah, first, don't treat them like they are some kind of rare birds or some kind of, if you go to a refugee camp, that's like a zoo. No, that's very false to do. They are just people, and you should just treat them like how your friend is, and how, like, there's students and there's CEOs, there's boss, there's like a restaurant open. Like, they are just normal humans, and you should just know that the fact that they are humans, and that's it. No more like descriptions. It's just so simple. Just, they are humans, you are human.
Wow, man, that was very true. Straight deep into our consciousness. All right, thank you very much, guys. Eudora, Paola, our beautiful Saverio and Sommer. Here's Marco. And thanks for listening. Keep it up.
Hello everyone, you are listening to Young Radio, and it is Alicia. We are hosting two guests, Marta from Poland and Hello. Philip from Croatia. Poland and Croatia are both Slavic countries. We have a different language and different eating habits, and that is what we are going to talk about today. So firstly, let's talk about differences between Polish and Croatian food. So, Philip, could you explain us what do you eat usually in Croatia? Maybe three main meals? Could you tell us something about it?
Yes, of course. For example, Croatian people don't like to eat big breakfasts.
We like to eat eggs in morning. Older people traditionally also like to drink rakia for breakfast. So it's kind of an alcoholic drink and they drink it for good health. For example, modern people are only about coffee, coffee and coffee. So that's basically what they eat for breakfast.
What about the lunch?
Well, the most important meal in week for Croatian people traditionally is a Sunday lunch. It's a family time when everyone gets together and eats a lot of good food. But modern people, like young people in new times, usually eat pizzas and barbecue.
And dinner in the evening, is it a big meal or what do you usually eat?
Well, traditionally, for people it's only some cheese and bread. And in modern society, we don't really eat that much. We don't eat dinner at all.
Okay, I think it is not the same in Poland. Marta, could you maybe explain how does it look like?
So, hello, my name is Marta. So, you know, for the breakfast in Poland, there is a traditional way and also the modern way. So, in traditional times, or traditional people eat some sausage and wieners and eggs, boiled or scrambled, bake rolls with butter, you know, and sandwiches. And in the modern way, they use cereals with fruits, with yogurt or milk, and also this, you know, vitamins and supplements and smoothies, fresh juice, or they don't eat breakfast at all, yeah, because they, you know, making this new diet like intermittent fasting, so that's why.
What about the second meal?
So the lunch is not a lunch, it's a dinner, you know, because in Poland the dinner is the biggest meal in whole day. So they will eat, like, for the first plate, for first dish, they will eat soup. And then the second plate, second dish, will eat some meat with some vegetables and like potatoes or rice, you know?
Okay.
Something like that.
So, while dinner is eating during midday, what do you eat in the evening?
So, in the evening, they, for example, they eat from 6 till 7 and they will eat sandwiches, you know, or scrambled eggs. And for the others, in the modern way, they will eat, for example, fruits, you know, or only vegetables, or, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so you could hear the difference between Croatian and Polish food. It was really interesting. And could you maybe tell us about changes in eating habits? I think that people live faster nowadays. So how does it affect the meals, the food in your countries?
Well, definitely our ways of eating are changing. A lot of fast food restaurants are opening up and big American chains and local burger places are really popular with young people these days. So people are moving away from traditional kitchen and adapting more to Western lifestyle and style of eating.
Marta, could you tell us how does it look like in Poland?
So now, you know, with this fit life and all these stuffs and the power of, you know, the picture and, you know, all this social media and that everybody want to be young and perfect. So it's a lot of changing, and also with the consciousness about eating, you know, what you are putting in your mouth. So they don't want to eat, you know, meat, or they don't want to eat any dairy products from milk, yes, or gluten-free, you know. So, for example, our national speciality pierogi, which is kind of ravioli, is changing from normal white flour to this flour without gluten, yeah. So pizzas in pizzerias, they are going also gluten-free, you know. What else?
Thank you very much, Marta and Filip. And now let's listen to Carolina, who will tell us something about new ways of sharing food.
Hello, everybody. I'm Carolina from Poland, and I'm gonna say a few words about food. The first food truck was created near streets where many people train station and market. Do you know that Thailand is called the biggest street for food of the world? Until the 50s, Thailand people usually eat at home, but then it changed. If you would like to see what there is street food, is this the place you should go? One of the interesting things is the biggest food truck in Europe. It was built in Kostrzyn, Poland by Marathon International Company. There are a lot of food festivals all around the world. It became more and more popular. This is the perfect way to try different food from other countries and cultures. There are many different theme festivals, and the most popular are vegan, chili, seafood and cheese festival. A lot of people share the picture of the food on social media. The most used app for that is Instagram. It is a great way to get inspired and cook meals from other parts of the world. So, if you are the person who likes to experiment and try new things, go to the Instagram and start looking for a food festival nearby. Don't forget to share with us your photo. Thank you for listening. This is the Karolina from Poland.
Thank you, Karolina. My name is Jure and I'm here with Lou Jane. Lou Jane.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
So, we're here to discuss about food. Can you tell me what is food for you?
Well, food has been a part of my life forever. I love food, not only eating, but also cooking. I've watched so many food TV shows through my life, and I always had this passion for cooking. Yeah.
Really nice. So, can you tell me where does your inspiration come from?
Well, I'm from Syria and I live now in the Netherlands, so I have a lot of history with food from Syria, and you know, food is different in Syria than in the Netherlands, so...
Can you say any differences, like, you can think of?
Yeah, the food in Syria is more diverse, there's a lot of diversity between the regions in Syria. If every place you go, there's something new you could discover, yeah.
Really nice. So, in the culinary world, there is a word called infusion food. Can you tell me something more about it?
Well, it's about making, combining many cuisines in one. Combining the best of everything to make a new thing. Like in the restaurant where I work, we have people from Eritrea, Syria, and Dutch people, and everyone can put their own touch in the food, yes.
Really nice. So, the thing that everyone wants to know, is it any good?
Of course it's good. All food is good. You can say this is good and this is not good. We just combine it and make a new experience with food. Like, food is art. You can do whatever you want. It's just a nice experience for everyone.
Sure, sure. Thank you very much, Lujane. That's our time.
Thank you.
This is the end of the culinary project and you're listening to Young Radio.
Hello world, you are listening to Young Radio Europe. My name is Antonia, and now we are going to talk about the importance of sport and also how it is useful in integration. Later in the program, we will be joined by a very interesting guest who will give us the first-hand insight on the important topic. So stay with us. Now, Ada, Domi and Arthur will tell you something about Olympic refugee team. Guys, the microphone is yours.
Thank you, Antonio. So, back in 2015, the first ever refugee Olympic team was formed by the International Olympic Committee. 10 athletes were chosen to represent people who are too often forgotten. It was a historic moment in Brazil when a team consisting of refugees participated for the first time ever in the Olympic Games. The team consisted of 2 swimmers, 2 judokas, a marathon runner and 5 middle distance runners who originally hailed from Ethiopia, South Sudan, Syria and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. They became instant role models for more than 68.5 million refugees around the world.
and they became the true global ambassadors for the values of the Olympics.
Ada, why do you think this is so important?
I think it's important because freedom cannot be built on exclusion and hatred. It is a universal human right. Brazil and the International Olympic Committee have given the world a glimpse of the humanity and aspiration of each refugee. Perhaps, after all, we are getting better faster and we are getting worse, and barriers will continue to fall, but not through words alone. And although in 2020 in Tokyo, the refugee team will take part at the Olympics Games to take part and to inspire other people and to raise hope. And Arthur, do you think that the participation of the refugee team will raise the awareness in the world?
This contribution is to keep the world aware of the refugees' problems and this challenge, and that it does not disappear from the conscience of the world, and send another signal of hope to these refugees.
Thank you, guys. Now we are going to talk about sport and integration, and we are going to talk with Mudar, and he's going to share with us his personal experience. So, Mudar, please tell us something about you. So, where do you come from, and when did you come to Netherlands?
Hi, I am Mudar. I am from Syria, and I live in Netherlands. First, I start to looking for a football team to do my favorite sport and to meet some people, and I did. And I found it a good way to get integrate with the Dutch community. And they helped me a lot with the language.
Okay, Mudar, do you maybe have some fun facts that you want to share with us?
Yes, I want to tell you about something I found it in the beginning really weird, but after a few months I adapt about it. My team when we finished the match, we go to take a shower and all of them was naked. I was shocking in the beginning because I never do that before, because in Syria I took a shower alone. But after that I start to do the same because it's normal in this community. And that was my experience.
Okay, Mudar, that's very interesting. And I also want to ask you, do you think sport can help in integration, and also how can it be useful for it?
So, as I told you before, for me, sport can help me like to practice the language and meet new people and build a sort of family.
Mudar, thank you for sharing your story. It was really interesting and so much inspiring. And dear listeners, we hope that you enjoyed our program. Stay with Young Radio Europe and bye till the next listening.
So, dear listeners, our program for today is over. But don't be sad. Did you like it? If you did, you can check all our podcasts and the informations about our project, and you can listen on the website on www.youngradio.it.
Okay, we'll see you in the next episode. Once again, thanks so much to the Erasmus Plus.
Ciao!
Bok!
Na razie!
Dui dui, tot ziens!
Ila l-liqa!
Yeah.
Michelle.